You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, should you be concerned about the bubonic plague spreading to your neighborhood?
Wow.
Parents who suck at parenting will take their lumps on today's program.
Lump me.
Hackers have stolen fingerprints this time. What does that mean for your security? And the venerable and partially nuts David Sheehan joins us as guest movie reviewer. Let's meet the friends. Conspiring to bring you information you can use, it's the host of the new show, Thrash Pie Radio, coming to a podcast outlet near you, Ted Thrash Pie Pritchard.
Correct. It's been hotter than blazes in California, and we're suffering one of the worst droughts, they're saying, in our history, right? Well, I got news for you. It's all a government conspiracy. Big names are behind it, Phil.
I have my tinfoil hat on for this, Ted. Thank you. And if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for listening and for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the program when you do that because the folks over at iTunes, when they're not conspiring to sell you junk that you will love, even if it doesn't work, they read your comments and notice your five-star reviews. Now, let's get started. The last thing they put out didn't work so well, right? The operating system, the update for the iPhone?
Yeah. No, I haven't done it yet. Nope, not going to.
Don't do it. It freezes your phone.
Gonna wait.
Yeah, all right. Very good, but they get a pass because they're fashionable and trendy. And
the design is good.
Yeah, they have round edges instead
you
of square
betcha.
Edges. Now, tell me, conspiracy, what, this whole deal is cooked up by the government to get us to pay, what, more money or to put gray water down our toilet? What's the deal?
Seems to be two schools of thought that are working together on this, whether they, and our crack research department.
Yeah, we have that.
The, maybe on crack, but the research department, and I've dug this up. The California drought is evidently a government conspiracy. And behind it are very wealthy Americans. You know that. They're the rich people are always at fault.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Rockefellers, Rothschilds. Rothschilds go way back.
Yeah, they make a great candy.
Way back. I think they've even brought the Kennedys in there.
Did they?
So the Catholics are not immune.
And they wake up in the morning and they say, how can we pull one over the population of the world, right? Isn't that what they do?
They probably do that on a daily basis. Yeah. They do that in church.
Yes.
That's how we
and that's it. And the problem it all started when they were in school and they were the dweebs in class and we used to shoot spitwads at their head.
Perhaps.
And now they're exacting their revenge.
Here's this guy, Dane Wigington, whether he's wigging out. Dane's wigging.
Yeah.
Dane's wigging out. He's got a group called the Geoengineering Watch. Now, geoengineering is not a term I was familiar with, nor was anyone in the crack research department.
Wow.
However, geoengineering means that the government or somebody is manipulating our atmosphere, our weather, in order to help to eliminate or slow global warming. Dane's group says our government is flying planes over, and you can witness any plane way up high, the contrail.
Yeah,
that you see behind them is actually dumping heavy metal particles.
Particles? Particulate matter?
Correct. In the atmosphere, which is intended to slow the global warming. Now,
yeah.
here's the problem.
Yeah.
What it does is it actually blocks sunlight, mm-hmm. which creates the California drought, the worst in our history. He says that the evidence is not disputable.
I see your lips moving, but it almost seems like the sound is coming out of another orifice.
I'm going to string it all together here in a second.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so this guy says, if you're skeptical, this won't help. He claims that spraying is happening off the coast of California with an incredibly serious side effect. Heavy metal particles, including barium, aluminum, and others unmentioned, are blocking rainfall, effectively steering our unpredictable heat and weather and causing a drought.
Huh.
Okay, now here's the follow-up from a guy who's actually probably got some brains and did pretty well in school, as opposed to Dane.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hold on, I lost him for a second, this guy's name is a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
His name is Kiawa Tha-Pa-Yu.
Whoa.
And he is a UC Davis professor of atmospheric science and biometeorology with degrees from MIT and Yale. Now, who are you going to believe?
That's Dane? A smart guy.
You're going to believe Dane or Kyaw?
I believe Kyaw, but Kyaw might be getting a little money on the side.
Perhaps.
To, you know, because has science been co-opted by these conspirators?
Correct. And he's got a government job. He works for the state.
Sure.
I find it more likely, and I'm not saying it's actually happening, says Kyaw. But it's more likely that there are extraterrestrial visits to the Earth than this kind of thing happening. I don't know anybody in my field who believes that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to, I don't know.
And last week you had the government buying up more property over around.
Oh, yeah. That was in Area 51.
Area 51.
They are doing that, though.
They're trying to increase the area
and
of Area 51.
Eliminate global warming by buying people's property for too cheap.
Yeah.
Well, right?
See?
That's all I have.
I don't think they want to eliminate global warming. They would lose an issue,
it's
and
all,
they'd lose an opportunity to tax and fine people.
But, you know, there's been, you know, elite groups behind government activity for thousands of
years. But see, bad stuff for government, bad stuff happening to people is good business.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Because you have something to fix or just pretend you could fix it. I'll fix that for you if you vote for me.
Doesn't count.
And if you give me $100 million in this year's budget and a staff of 50 and new digs in an Upper East Side New York building.
Correct. Enter the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and Kennedys.
And the Illuminati.
Point made.
Yeah, right. All right, fine. I don't believe any of it. And I do at the same time. All right, what else is going on? Oh, the Pope is in town, and he spoke to Congress today, didn't he?
Well, you know, there were some rules.
Yeah?
Pope says to Congress, don't touch the Pope.
Really?
On the way in, you know, when they announced it, they announced him as they didn't say Vicar of Christ, did they?
No, they said the Pope of Holy See.
The Pope of Holy See, right.
And Holy See is the official country name of the Vatican. The Vatican is in the Holy See.
That came from our crack research department,
yes.
I'm sure.
Right.
They're
on
no
crack.
Clue. But, yeah, evidently, you know, you don't want to touch. You know how the president comes in for the State of the Union and everybody's slapping five and they're doing bro hugs and you know, shaking hands and
sure.
I mean, everything is.
It's
happening.
The American way, but they're not wearing those bleached and starched vestments that the Pope wears.
Correct, but you know, there was no spaghetti dinner before the entrance.
Can you imagine? I can't eat anything without getting at least one spot. That's a brand new shirt. There's a spot on it.
So the guy comes in, direct orders not to touch the Pope.
Yeah,
but he goes. He breaks ranks and goes and shakes hands with John Kerry.
Really?
How about that? Well, now, John Kerry is not a member of Congress.
No, he's an altar boy.
He's an altar boy. He headed right for him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was like a meat on a platter, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh. Sacrilege. The Pope is lovely, wonderful man.
He did. He said
everybody loves this Pope.
They do. He said some nice things, you know.
With a smile on his face.
With a smile and no winks.
Yeah.
You know, but there's some Native Americans that aren't too happy with him, you know, about the whole pontification of Junipero Serra.
Yeah, right. And there's some people that argue that perhaps he came in and enslaved and killed a whole bunch of Native Americans.
Oh, well, there was probably some strong evidence for that,
and that's
not Dane Wigington talking.
No. Now, what about that 5-year-old girl that came up to the Pope?
She obviously, you know, had one of those genes that gives 5-year-olds, you know, reading ability of a college student.
Right, yeah.
She sounded really good.
So she read at the 5-year-old level of the 1940s.
Yeah, and you know,
because in the 1940s, all 5-year-olds read like she does.
They could read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the message of the letter that she gave to the Pope and read to the Pope was that her parents were in the country, you know, without documentation, illegally. Okay.
Yeah.
And she was born in this country, which makes her a citizen, and. Yeah. You know, essentially the message is, please don't split us up. We, you know, my parents are good people.
Right.
And that was one of the Pope's big messages, is that we include everyone in our loft.
And that was a topic that came up in the Republican debate, Carly Fiorina,
and
right?
I believe so. But it's been, you know, that's a hot topic in, you know, today in this country.
Yeah.
Politically and otherwise.
Yes.
So, you know, don't.
I think Carly and who else? Trump and Bush.
Trump.
Bush, all three of them are I think, maybe not Trump, but I know Bush and Fiorina both believe that if a child is born here to parents who came over illegally, then the child should get citizenship.
It's actually in the Constitution.
Yeah. And that's what the Pope is saying. That should be the case as well.
Sure.
But there are others who say, no, that's, you know.
Too bad. Throw them all out.
They're anchor babies.
Right. That's right. And that they come here on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pop out a kid and Get the papers. Right? It's true.
Right. Yeah. All right. Who invented Instagram? Do you have any idea?
No clue.
I have an idea, and it's not who you think it was.
Hmm.
In fact, you will be shocked and amazed to find out who it is next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Nice to see you. I can't see you, but nice to see you just the same. All right, this is odd. In the 1800s in Austria, single women would put an apple slice in their armpit during dances. And follow me here. This is the 1800s in Austria. At the end of the night, when it was nice and sweaty in there, they'd give the apple slice to the guy they liked. And if he felt that way about the woman, he'd eat the apple slice.
Oh, my God.
Sweaty apple slices.
Oh.
You're the apple of my eye.
Oh.
Life with you, babe, is the pits.
We need to have a talk with that crack research department. Whoa.
Oh, boy.
That's just wrong.
That's commitment,
Who
isn't
thought
it?
That up?
Yeah, and back then they didn't have deodorant or anything like that.
Nothing.
I mean, everybody stunk in the 1800s.
Hairy armpits on women.
And you were accustomed to the stink because everybody stunk. That's why everybody poured powder and lead and whatever else on them on their bodies to mask it.
Oh, God. Right.
You won't find apple slices in Jamie Lee Curtis's pits, I promise you. But she claims that she invented Instagram in 2008. Now, not the Instagram that we know today. She just had the same idea. She says, quote, "I invented Instagram about 6 years ago. As soon as iPhones came out and we started taking photos, I'm a photographer, and I realized you could take beautiful photographs. All my friends who were photographers, they would send me their pictures, and I would upload them to my blog spot. It was 2 years before Instagram."
Is that the same thing, though?
Well, that people were sending her photos would upload them to a space.
So she was performing the function of what Instagram does
in
today.
In fact, the blog still exists. It's called iPhone Eyes. That's I-P-H-O-N-E-Y-E-S, iPhoneEyes.blogspot.com.
Huh.
And we'll get the crack researchers. We'll get the they're busy researching crack.
That's correct.
We'll get the web munchkins to add that link to our links page. We'll call it.
And this is still her blog.
We'll call it Jamie Lee Curtis's Instagram.
There you go.
So you'll know how to find it. So Jamie Lee invented Instagram because she was posting friends' photos on a blog in 2008. So I don't know. We're thinking: is she serious? Is she nutty? Is she losing it? If this counts as inventing Instagram, surely a ton of people have invented it
before.
Oh,
sure. That's like the guy you meet, and he says, I just saw the coolest movie, and they go, that was my story.
Yeah.
I wrote that story 10 years ago.
Why didn't I think of that? Well, I did think of it.
Yeah. All the time. I wrote that song.
Take it to court.
I used those three notes.
And good luck, right?
It happens.
Yeah, it does happen. Hey, they have a beautiful new stadium in San Francisco.
They do.
It's where the Giants play baseball. Is that right? They
No.
They quit playing
it. That's AT&T Park.
AT&T. The football team, the 49ers, play at this new park.
Correct. Well, AT&T Park is gorgeous also. I've been there once. Haven't been to Levi yet, but that's who underwrote this whole project.
Where did they put Levi? Because
I think it's in. I think it's down south.
Because Candlestick was in an awful place.
And a quick story about that. I bought a Giants hat. Don't tell any Dodgers people that I know. while I was there at the stadium. And I asked the guy who was selling the hats.
Yeah.
I said, well, how do you like the new stadium? He said, anything's better than Candlestick.
Yeah.
That was his comment.
Oh, it's
because evidently the weather was terrible. You know, the wind blew all the time.
Yeah.
But Levi Stadium is a masterpiece of modern stadium construction.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask the fellow we had on the other day, the attorney that researches, you know, safety. He was a lawyer from Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, about how safety stadiums
are.
Well,
you were here. Why didn't you ask him?
I didn't get a word in edgewise with you.
Was I too busy yapping?
You yapping and him answering.
All right, fine.
Well, so at any rate, here's the deal. Levi's Stadium, new home of the 49ers. There is a lawsuit pending with the FAA. Pilots have filed a claim with the FAA. Pilots.
Really?
Local pilots. All right, so they're saying that the lights on the stadium are blinding and therefore dangerous to their functioning of their aircraft and
on their approach to SFO.
So you got to think, I don't know if it's that or not, because the SFO is actually north of there, okay?
Yeah.
So they're not coming in directly over the stadium, as I understand it. I'm thinking they're helicopter pilots and those guys.
I'm pulling it up on a map
that are
to see
1,000 feet or so
where it is in proximity to an airport. And I'm looking. Okay, it's near the All right.
Is it Palo Alto? Where is it?
No, it's below San Jose.
Below San Jose, it's out of that flight path.
Yeah.
Right, it's way down there.
Right.
A lot of people are complaining.
It's between the 101, the 237, and the 64, if you know the area, and the 880.
Right.
So those are the freeways that circle it. Now, San Jose International Airport is directly southeast of it.
Okay, because it could be those guys.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, however, that it was more like you know, local pilots, guys that have to fly within a certain, you know, altitude, like helicopter pilots. So there's a lot of commuters, you know, a lot of commuter helicopter business in this state.
People. But if they are helicopter pilots, nobody's going to listen to them.
Probably not.
Yeah, because honestly, how many consumers do they service? Now, if you've got jet aeroplanes coming in with 150 people
very different.
Each, yeah. And so if it is the approach to Mineta, San Jose International Airport. It's an international airport. I didn't realize that. It's international planes coming into San Jose. That's pretty good. Then, and I do believe that the approach will come over the Salt Pond part of the bay, the southeast part of the San Francisco Bay. They'll come through there, right over the water and over the stadium.
Right. So they're not. It's not from Oakland or SFO. It's from this Mineta. What is it? Mineta. What?
Mineta.
Mineta
San Jose International Airport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, San Jose is, what, the fourth biggest city in the state now.
Sure, yeah.
So lots of people coming in. But, pilots, lights in their eyes, big problem.
I think so. And if they're also flying from the coast over Mountain View toward San Jose, then that would be an issue as well.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Now we know. So what did we learn?
Wait, I'm not flying up there.
You're not?
That's what I'm learning. Oh, never mind.
Okay, fine. We do have have other things to talk about, including how many episodes does it take to get you hooked on a TV show?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah?
I'm a binge watcher.
Are you a binge?
Yes,
so
sir.
Once you find out that everybody else thought it was cool, then you start watching it.
Actually, no. I just, you know, I'll go to Netflix, or I think they even have them on Amazon, which I have Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get into the show, I'd stay up for days.
So Netflix actually did this study to find out how many episodes it takes to get people hooked on various shows. And it's kind of complicated the way they do it. But basically, they know people stop watching if they can't get into a show, can't get into it. You know, I'm just not getting it. It's not hooking me in. So they looked for the episode that resulted in the least amount of drop-offs.
Ooh.
And the episode that hooks people is the one episode that inspires at least 70% of viewers to complete the first season and potentially go on to additional seasons.
Wow, because I usually do. Here's what happens.
Yeah.
I start watching, and I'll cite this example, The Killing. You heard of that show?
Yes.
All right, it was an interesting show. It was set up in Seattle, something like that.
Yeah.
Detective show. And I got about 7 or 8 episodes into it, liking it.
Yeah.
And the characters didn't develop any further, and it began to become a soap opera.
Yeah.
And that's when
And then you say, okay, I'm done.
That's
waste of my
out.
Time.
Yep.
Well, here's an example. Scandal, for instance. You know that show.
Sure.
It had viewers locked in by episode 2.
Well, you know, I'd watch Kerry Washington do her laundry.
She walks into the Oval Office and drops her panties,
Hello.
And you're hooked, right? But it took 8 episodes of How I Met Your Mother for people to get to the point where there's no turning back.
Hmm.
Here are 25 other shows. We'll try to go through them real quick that hooked people. Episode 2s. These are shows that really hook you in a hurry. The Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, Scandal, Bates Motel, The Killing, and Suits. Now you're
Suits,
you're among the minority in this case.
And when it comes to The Killing, now there's a couple in there I've never seen, but
All right, maybe you missed episode 2.
Suits I liked.
Episode 3 will hook you with these, and some of them aren't here anymore, but like Dexter. Orange is the New Black took 3 episodes, House of Cards, Marco Polo, and Gossip Girl, and Sense 8. I don't know what Sense 8 is.
Have you heard of that? Yeah, I did, and it was too far-fetched for me.
4 episodes, Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
that's
loved
a funny show.
Oh, I dig that guy.
Yeah, not funny. It's a good show.
It's it's an offshoot from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but it's humor to it. Mm-hmm. I find it funny sometimes. Pretty Little Liars, Bloodline, Grace and Frankie, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Episode 5, Daredevil and BoJack Horseman. BoJack Horseman.
Daredevil I watched.
Yeah. Episode 6, Mad Men, Once Upon a Time, and The Blacklist. I got hooked on The Blacklist after 2 episodes.
Oh, man. Blacklist is great.
Yeah, it's a good one. Talk about Illuminati. 8 episodes it'll take you with Arrow and How I Met Your Mother. And I think I mentioned that one already. So there you go.
Good night now.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Watch Arrow, but... Kimmy Schmidt, the others.
First episode of Survivor last night, I was hooked.
Yeah, Stark loves Survivor.
Yeah, so do I.
I don't get it.
But he's the biggest Survivor fan on the planet.
I don't get it. Dating Naked, that's the one I watch.
You know, they got to take Survivor to the next level. Naked Survivor.
They have a Naked Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Naked and Alone or something, right?
Naked and Afraid.
It's
not a bad show either. Hey, there's a movie coming out this weekend that will probably destroy the box office. You know which one it is? Plus a special Johnny Depp surprise.
Oh, no, no.
You don't know which movie is going to kill the box office, do you?
No.
Oh, we'll find out. When our guest movie reviewer, David Sheehan. He's nuts. But he joins us live next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is a guy who has 40-plus years of reviewing movies on television in Los Angeles and nationwide. He knows everybody in the business, and he's about to give you the business, Mr. David Sheehan.
Give who the business?
You know how it works. Everybody.
Oh, yeah, I think I do, but sometimes you don't know if you do or don't.
Yeah, right, and you don't find out until later. That's how the business works.
Exactly.
Look, I know, David, that you generally don't see the big mainstream new releases, perhaps by design. Why is that?
Well, after 44 years of having to see every single movie with any kind of marquee value in order to review them on the news on Channel 4 or Channel 2, where I spent all those decades, it's now a great privilege to only go when I feel like there's something promising and where I feel like I'm not going to be subjected to a lot of assault to my senses, a lot of violence, a lot of vulgarity, and a lot of insensitivity.
Oh, people love vulgarity, though, don't they? I mean, that's the American pastime these days. But come on, Hotel Transylvania 2 is going to destroy the box office this weekend. You'll see that movie eventually, won't you?
I'm going to skip that every time it comes around.
Really? Wow, it's a cartoon, and there's flatulence in it.
Well, flatulence is fine, especially if you're not regular.
Right.
But I'm a regular kind of guy, and I don't, flatulence has never been a problem for me. But still, I enjoy it when it happens. Hotel Transylvania is kind of like in that ballpark, if it is indeed a ballpark.
Yeah.
It's a horror cartoon that has some interesting people taking part in the voiceovers, like... Adam Sandler and so on.
Yeah, right.
It's certainly one that I would avoid at all costs.
Okay, all right, good to know. Now, can I just say the premise of The Intern with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway, not to mention Rene Russo, is absurd. What do you think?
Oh, I love that movie.
You do? Come on.
I haven't seen all of it yet, but I've gotten a few clips because I'm going to do a thing on my web series about Robert De Niro.
Oh.
With Robert De Niro.
Okay.
And... I love it for a lot of reasons. It's one of the few movies that I feel like, man, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't able to attend the screening because I was out of town. But
so you've had some deep, meaningful conversations with De Niro, huh?
Oh, many, many over the years.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I'm doing on this new series called Sheehan and the Stars.
Yeah.
But in terms of The Intern, it's a wonderful idea that those of us who tend to get older And last time I checked, that applies to pretty much everybody.
Yeah, pretty much anybody we know.
Yeah, for example. And, you know, when you get past 55, 65, you get in there and you become a little bit obsolete, or you feel like you perhaps are. And there's something about rebirth that the Intern movie is all about, which is the whole premise is that De Niro's an old guy in his 70s, and he's kind of retired or semi-retired and feeling a bit useless. And along comes this idea of all these internet, social media companies in Santa Monica and Venice and Playa Vista. And he goes around trying to find a job, not a paying job, but a job as an intern. And it turns out that he and those people like him in their 70s are highly valued and deeply sought after because they have experience and knowledge that these 25-year-olds who are running these companies obviously don't have. And they're smart enough, though, to, first of all, invent social media and the Internet and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. They're smart enough to invent that, and they're also smart enough to see the value in an older person's experience and wisdom.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or just day-to-day knowledge about how to run things.
And they're easier to look at, too. Not the interns, the 25-somethings, right?
Right, yeah.
Like Anne Hathaway.
Exactly. Hey, David, it's my name's Ted. I'm pleased to talk to you for the first time. But I have a question. Number one, your point about, you know, the value of experience, and particularly Americans, you know, we tend to throw things away after they're, you know, after people retire. And that's my age, so I'm fascinated and interested in seeing that movie, too. This question is kind of left-handed, and I've heard this from a number of people. I live sort of north of Santa Monica, if you know what I mean. And yeah. I'm around a lot of show business people. And there's kind of a general, there is a consensus amongst many. So why do so many people in the entertainment business dislike Anne Hathaway? Have you heard that?
No, I haven't even heard that. I thought everybody loved her.
Well, I thought everybody loved her, too. But, I talk to people and they say, oh, God, I just can't watch anything with her in it. I just can't.
Here's a question for you. Now, this is not left-handed. It's backhanded. Has Rene Russo ever sat on your lap?
Yes, she did once. I was doing a junket with Kevin Costner at a place called the Del Monte Lodge in Pebble Beach. And it was for a movie. What was the name of that movie? The Tin Cup.
Yeah.
The Tin Cup.
Yeah.
The golfer.
And Kevin and I were kind of goofing off, and Rene came over because she said, when do you interview me? God damn it. And I said, just a minute, I got to finish up with Kevin here because he's the star. Oh. And she said, no, I'm the co-star. And she was real cute about it and funny, and she sat on my lap for just a second or two.
Oh, that's all it took, though.
Yeah, for me, yeah. I'm easy, you know.
Yeah, of course. Now, there's a horror movie out nobody cares about, nobody's heard of it, but just so you know, there's a horror movie. It's called Green Inferno. We could skip ahead.
Green Inferno, yeah. I saw the trailer on that, and that was enough for me.
Yeah. Now, you know what blew up the box office last week was Black Mass, the movie about Whitey Bulger, and it's still a draw this week. Now, that's a pretty good movie, isn't it?
Well, not only is it good, it's Johnny Depp, and it's another example of the way he can inhabit a character so fully and so deeply that you hardly even know it's Johnny Depp. You're only being connected to the character himself that Depp is playing, but he has a way of embodying the person so fully that it's really magical. He's so talented, and that's not only going to be a big movie. Last weekend, I think it did $80 million or something like that. It's probably going to do close to that again this weekend because it's got very little competition except for De Niro. And Johnny Depp is, I think, a draw on so many different levels because he's got this whole following from the Pirates movies, and he's got another following from this whole kind of childlike innocence that he brings to any part he plays.
Ever talk to him?
Yes, I did, and I know you've got a clip lined up there to play.
We have a clip.
Our conversation. The conversation was about just that, about his love for staying in touch with the child within, and that's part of why he likes playing roles, and what he calls, let's pretend, and let's put on a play, and that kind of thing. So he has a very, very playful, childlike attitude about playing parts.
We can still stay young inside, and I think that we forget to live in the present, And we lose touch with that kid inside, you know.
So is there some of you in that, in the sense that you wish you never had to really totally grow up?
Well, I think I haven't, you know. I mean, although I, you know, I, like everybody, you know, we all age, but I, you know, I'm still kind of a kid inside a lot of ways, you know.
Yeah, even what you do for a living, yeah.
Even what I do for a living, you know, which is, you know, pure make-believe.
Yeah.
Pure make-believe, that's what he calls it.
Yeah, that'd be nice to get paid for that, huh?
Yeah, and that interview, by the way, is part of our ongoing series called Sheehan and the Stars. You can go to Facebook.com or YouTube.com,
yeah,
which is even better, and just search for David Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N.
Very easy. And there's a website floating out there, too, davidsheehan.tv, and that'll direct you to wherever you need to go. And we have a link on our links page to David Sheehan as well.
Oh, that's nice of you. Thank you so much.
Happy to help, sir. It's a pleasure and an honor, as always, to speak with you, and so pleased that you had a moment in your busy day to spend with us.
Oh, it was my pleasure altogether. Thank you very much for inviting me.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
There he goes, David Sheehan.
There he goes.
Yeah. And he had David, next time I introduce him, the man who had Rene Russo on his lap for a matter of 4 seconds.
That's enthusiasm.
Yes, it is.
I'm serious. Right.
She's a pretty lady, isn't she?
Oh, she's great. And yeah, she's actually a great actor. You know, she's from Burbank.
Yeah.
She was discovered at a Rolling Stones concert.
Yeah.
Did you hear that story?
Yeah, I did.
Made her a model. Ooh. Made her rich.
Yep. There you go. Hey, can we all agree that the majority of parents these days just suck at parenting? Can we agree? Okay, good. Well, but just the same, that's a blanket statement without any support, but you'll get plenty of that support when our next guest joins us in a moment right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. If you're a parent of a young child, I wish you well, but I also wish you would get your act together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hey, joining us live is a life mentor with a master's in social work, speaker, author of several books, including the one with the best title, I think, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, which is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thomas Gagliano, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, I work with elementary school kids once or twice a week. I teach them public speaking, and it's a lot of fun. I try to give them a little head start, but let me tell you, it's like a parallel universe, and those kids are in charge of it. They are accustomed to doing and saying whatever they want, whenever they want, and they are shocked when somebody says no. Why is that?
I think, you know, a lot of parents today are overindulging their children. You know, I think we're in a very different environment. You know, we have a lot of parents that are working, and they're doing this for the best for their family. They're trying to save for college or better homes, a better apartment. But, you know, a lot of children out there don't see it as such. I always talk about children being egocentric. And what that means is all they do is see how it affects them. And, you know, a lot of parents don't understand that. Kids are getting the impression or the notion that they don't want to be with me.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with me that mom and dad are working all the time? And parents don't understand that. You know, children don't see the world the way the parents are seeing the world.
Yeah.
And what parents are doing to compensate for that, they're overindulging their children.
Yeah, and then they come home from work and they talk to their 2-year-old, honey, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah.
And now the kid's deciding what to eat instead of mom and dad bringing the plate out on the table. Here's what we're eating. Sit down and have a meal with it, right?
You got
sit
it.
Down
parents
and eat.
Running the route. The kids are running the families, yep.
Yeah, yeah. And they're running around the restaurants, too. That's maddening.
Drive me nuts.
Yeah, isn't it? Now, if so you say parents should take charge. How do they do that?
Well, first of all, the first thing parents need to do with their children is start to develop a safe place for their children to talk to them about what's going on. You know, if a child doesn't have someone safe to talk about their feelings growing up, mm-hmm. their fears, their sexual orientation when they get older, their curiosity with drugs, the problem is they'll develop negative core beliefs. Like, if I can't talk to my parents, then something's wrong with me. I must not be good enough. And we want our children to talk to us about their struggles. Why? We don't want them to solicit that information from the wrong people. So the first thing parents need to do is create that safe place for their children, where their children can talk to them, talk to them about their problems. And again, getting back to your other question, when a parent, because they feel guilty, overindulges their children, buying them games or video games, what you're doing is you're telling the children, as they grow older, if they're feeling sad or they want to talk about something, don't do that. Go get a game. Medicate your pain. Mm-hmm. You know, change that feeling inside. Why don't you give your kid a bottle of scotch?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Overeat, get drunk. That's the way to do it. Yeah, but very often when, and this is the line of thinking that you're giving us here is probably coming across a little shocking to people, because when we say parents should take charge, the knee-jerk decision is that we should just be more strict with our kids.
No, very good point. Excellent. You know, we don't want to give our children the message that they're bad kids and deserve to be punished. When our children make mistakes or make poor choices, we need to give our children the message that, you know, you're a good kid, but you made a bad choice here. And in life, we have consequences for the choices that we make, but you're a good kid. Yeah. You know, we have to give our children the message that it's okay to make a mistake. It doesn't mean you are a mistake. You made a bad choice. It's an opportunity to grow. But we also have to give them consequences for the choices they make. If my son doesn't clean his room, he made the choice not to get his allowance. That's not on me.
Yeah.
He made a choice. That's the consequence to the choice.
But how about dad being the alpha dog and pointing out where the boundaries are and that respect other people's stuff and you know all the types of things that kids don't seem to be learning these days?
Well, that's very important. I think dads have lost their place to some extent. And I tell, you know, I coach a lot of parents. And sometimes I tell the dad, listen, you need to take your children out alone, just you and your child. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to talk about mom. It means you need to build a little relationship there with your child outside of just the relationship the child has with the mom. You know, get to know your child. Be curious with your child. Find out who your child likes to hang out with, what games they like playing, you know, if they go on the computer, what sites do they go on? Really be curious with your child, because, you know, a child may look at that initially as, well, dad is a pain in the neck. But someday they're going to get older and they're going to understand, you know what, dad did that because he cared about me. I was important to my dad. Very important point. You know, I share this story all the time. I was watching a baseball game with my 8-year-old son, and he said, hey, Dad, how come the kids in the stand root so hard for their favorite baseball player? I said, those baseball players are the heroes. He thought about what I said, and he came back. He said, you know, Dad, they may be my hero someday, but you're always going to be my first hero.
Oh, that's awesome.
We are at children's first heroes. Yeah. We have to keep that status going. It doesn't just keep going on its own.
I wonder that if the majority of parents who let their kids do whatever they want, whenever they want, see a mom or a dad actually putting up some boundaries for their child and showing that there are consequences for crossing over those boundaries, all those other parents will band together and think the parents who are taking charge are abusing their kids, and they'll call the authorities.
Well, you know, the one thing about boundaries is if they're not consistent, don't even do them. You can't put boundaries down Monday, Wednesday, and Friday,
right,
not Tuesday and Thursday.
Right.
And I tell parents that if you consistently put down boundaries, it's going to make your life so much easier with your children. Mm-hmm. If you're inconsistent and you're giving them signals and messages that are just inconsistent, the child is going to be confused. And believe me, all children want discipline. Now, when I say discipline, I don't mean hitting. I don't mean hurting. Discipline helps a child feel safe and important. Proper discipline. Proper discipline with the message that, again, you're a good kid. You have choices in this world. You make some bad choices. You need the consequence for those choices. Proper discipline is very important and makes the child feel very safe.
Now, in the title of your book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, there's the second half of the title. The cleanup cost can last a lifetime. And with that in mind, it almost sounds like there's a point where it's too late to turn things around.
You know, it's really never too late, but it is a good point that the later and you do it. See, childhood messages are created early on. The messages we give our children will affect the intimacy they have or don't have, the careers they choose, the roles that they play. They affect everything. So, you know, early on, those messages are vital, and it is much more difficult to change that as they get older. It can be done. It takes work, but it just becomes more difficult as they get older, because the childhood messages are really what's going to create the core beliefs.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you get on a program to turn your child in the right heading, grandma and grandpa destroy everything, don't they?
Well, you know what? It's another great point. You know, we're in a society now where grandma and grandpa, a third of the time, are taking back the parental guidance for the children. Parents are working a lot, and grandma and grandpa called back into action. And, you know, the important thing, again, for the child is that grandma and grandpa and the adults, single family, a single parent or mom and dad, we got to get on the same plane. We can't give the child mixed messages. That confuses a child, and then they don't feel safe. Yeah. That's why we have a lot of the bully situation today, is because I think a lot of the children today that are bullies are not really coming from unhealthy parenting. They're coming from a lot of confusion more than anything else. When a child is confused and they don't feel good about themselves, that anger and pain, they're going to act out on other kids. That's what a bully is. A bully is somebody that is angry inside. They're fragmented, and that's another whole show.
Yeah.
But the fragmentation makes them hurt other kids the way they're hurting inside.
You're talking a lot of sense, and I highly recommend the book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, Thomas Gagliano. Is there a website you'd like to send people to?
Yeah, they can go to my website and get the book on theproblemwasme.com. That was my first book with Dr. Tversky, and there's some neat stuff on there. Or they can go to Amazon, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and we have a link to the book on our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And, sir, thank you so much for illuminating this whole parental issue. I hope we helped.
Hey, guys, great being on your show. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. There he goes.
Take care.
All right. Made a lot of sense, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, when I hear people like that, I always realize, well, you know, I did some really good things and fell down in some areas.
Yeah. And then you think, okay, now I'm going to put some of this into action. Now, wait, what did he say again? That's the magic of this program. You could listen to it over and over again on demand and play it for your sister or your brother who are failing miserably at parenting.
Correct.
Yeah. That's it for hour one of the program. Can you believe it? There's so much more to come, including a whole bunch of things. The bubonic plague is here.
No.
Yes. And hackers have stolen fingerprints, perhaps yours. What does that mean for your security? Our tech guy returns after several weeks. We'll find out where he's been. Coming up in the next hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is hour two of the program where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, hackers have more information on you than you ever thought possible.
I believe it.
And 10 things we fight over during a big breakup. And is it really a good thing to get your flu shot? I'm contemplating that right about now. And Dr. Kurtz is going to set the record straight when he joins us a little later. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Ted Pritchard is here with me today.
Right.
And it's been quite a show so far, and it's only going to get better from here or downhill. Regardless, it's going to be easy. And it feels like we should bake a birthday cake and sing.
Oh, boy. It? Oh, is that where we are? This happened to me yesterday, or rather Tuesday, didn't it?
Yeah. You lose track of where you were?
I absolutely was lost. I've had a senior moment.
It's a good thing we don't practice before the show starts.
Why rehearse?
Yes.
I've never liked it.
All right. So
the Happy Birthday, the song.
Oh, you have a story about that.
Yes, I do.
Oh.
In fact, it's a very big story, worthy of discussion.
Okay, good.
Well, recently, that song was declared to be in the public domain. Do you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
Yes, because if you sang it publicly, like in a restaurant, you'd have to pay a royalty to a royalty or a license fee to to the publisher or the author of the story. And that's why of the songs. That's why when you go to TGI Fridays or whatever restaurant or Applebee's, they say happy birthday from all of us.
That's right.
Happy birthday.
They don't want to pay the royalties.
Mm-hmm.
That's I even figured that one out. Well, so get this. It's Judge, and this is a California case, actually, and it's brought about because a documentary filmmaker, I should say, and her name is Jen, I'll find it.
Jenna Happy Birthday.
Jennifer Nelson is her name. She was doing a documentary on the song itself, the origin of the song.
Right.
You know, who wrote the song, so on and so forth. And in the process of researching the intellectual property rights to the song,
yeah,
she wound up finding a number of sort of gaps in the ownership or gaps in the claim to it.
Loopholes.
She took the case to court, and it was decided mm-hmm. in her favor.
Yeah.
All right, well, it has a long history. Now, you wouldn't think that a song like Happy Birthday, you know, you'd think somebody just did that one day. Some mom figured it out while she was making a birthday cake. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And that song has just been around forever and ever and ever. And then somebody finally wrote it down and well, here's the thing. Two women wrote this song, Patty and Mildred Hill, in the late 1800s. Now, these women were pioneers in the field of child development.
In the late 1800s?
In the late 1800s.
Well, that's something, isn't it?
So they wrote the song originally as Good Morning to All. Remember I remember singing that, you know, back in the log cabin days.
Yeah, right.
Not then, but I remember that in the, like, first and second grade.
Yeah, okay, I don't.
And later on, the words, you know, Happy Birthday to You were assigned to the same melody.
Oh,
all right?
Is that where the loophole exists?
Well, I suppose so. But, you know, also, these women never copyrighted the song.
Uh-oh.
All right? And they wrote, actually, a whole book of songs, seeing that there was a huge lack of easily sung material for children in school.
Mm-hmm.
The kids' songs of those days were evidently, you know, real complicated or too difficult for little kids to sing.
Sure.
And the words too complicated and so forth.
Arpeggios, the whole thing. It was rough.
They published a book in 1894 called Song Stories for Kindergartners.
Oh.
And amongst that was Good Morning to All.
Yeah.
All right. So the Hill sisters go by the wayside. Actually, the one of them studied music at the University of Chicago in the late 1890s.
Yeah.
And the other, you know, the one wrote the music and the other wrote the lyrics.
Okay.
So it was pretty interesting. So at any rate, what happened was, get this, this guy named Clayton Seamy copyrighted the song in the early 1900s, just before World War I. All right.
And what was he related to the ladies who wrote it in the first place?
Not at all. But he discovered the song, and you know, of course, copyright payments at that time, and publishing payments were based on the sale of sheet music.
Yeah.
All right. Because there was no broadcasting yet. There was no radio. Well, it was, but they weren't using it for you know, music recording and so on and so forth at that point. Well, decades pass, and the Warner Chappell Company buys the rights to Happy Birthday in the early 1880s. And so anybody who wants to use Happy Birthday now has to pay a royalty. If you want to use it in your restaurant, if you want to put it in a movie, if you want to put it, you know, wherever, in public use. If you want to sing it on stage between, you know, your Bruce Springsteen songs that you've already paid for.
Right. Now all these people are making money that had nothing to do with the creation of the song.
Up to $2 to $3 million a year.
Yes.
The copyright payments or the residual payments on that intellectual property. Well, at any rate, so Ms. Nelson, making her documentary film, found the loopholes and sued, and so that's got to stop. So now, evidently, Warner Chappell's going to have to reimburse some people for some of those, you know, ill-gotten gains.
Well, you know, the good thing about this is that now, because Happy Birthday is one of the easiest songs on the planet to sing, it's easier to sing than Happy Birthday from all of us at Spoons.
You want to shoot those kids.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them having to do it.
Yeah, and
they go so fast. They want to get it over.
And they don't look happy.
Not at all.
I have to sing? I'm trying to toss somebody salad.
I've never sung while tossing salad.
Have you?
No.
Well, that would require you to be ambidextrous.
I suppose it would. Here's some other trivia that might be of interest in related in a very left-handed way to Happy Birthday, the song.
Okay.
What was the very first singing telegram, and what year was it?
First singing telegram.
I've got quizzes every time.
How am I supposed to know that?
You're not supposed to know that. No. It happened in 1917, and the first singing telegram was Happy Birthday.
No kidding.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
1932, first use of Happy Birthday in a movie. 1962, you remember this one? Marilyn Monroe singing to Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
That should be.
Happy birthday.
I will as soon as I finish this song.
We had a great time last night, Mr. President.
And here comes your brother. Oh, boy.
Yeah, right.
All right, so at any rate, birthday parties didn't really start for, you know, certain age groups until roughly the 1870s when our educational system began to split up kids into classes.
Right,
first, second, third, fourth.
And that didn't happen universally until well into the maybe the 50s.
It couldn't because it was a rural country.
Yeah, my dad, who grew up in the upper northeast of this country, he went kindergarten through 12th grade in a single schoolhouse.
See?
Yeah.
So at any rate, when they began to split them up, then they would start to have birthday parties amongst the kids with about the same age in the same grade.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday cakes actually started to come around to popularity in America, that is, in 1850. Now, it seems to me I remember people doing stuff for birthdays before then, having read a bunch of history. Like, Jefferson would have, party down in the
quarters. I don't know. Things have changed quite a bit. I mean, these days, kids, if they don't have a birthday party, something's wrong, right?
Absolutely.
I believe I had three birthday parties growing up for my birthday.
Totally, yeah.
While I was still at home. Maybe three parties.
My mom would make me some brownies and see you later.
The saddest one. The saddest party was there was no planning involved whatsoever. It was my, my 17th birthday.
Right.
And it was either 16th or 17th. And my mom said, why don't you just have a couple of friends over? So I just called a couple of friends. Hey, something's up at the house. It's my birthday, whatever.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the living room, dead silence. My mom's sitting there with us, and we're just kind of looking at each other. Okay, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We're going to get out of here.
Right. Well, nowadays, if you don't rent, a park and have a bounce house, and catered kid and have Spider-Man show up in a costume,
right, a smelly costume,
you
at
suck
that.
As a parent.
That's right.
I mean, I'm serious, and it's highly competitive.
Sure.
Big business.
Yeah.
Big business with those bounce houses.
That's why. They've got these shows on MTV, with the 16-year-olds who say, but I wanted a green Corvette.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. But I thought a fascinating history to that song, Happy Birthday. So sing away. You know, it don't chart. It don't cost nothing no more.
I wasn't sure where you were going to go with that, but you're right. It was fascinating.
I'm blown away by that.
No,
stuff.
I'm serious.
Me too.
No, okay, fine. And you like the rock and roll music? I know you do.
Of course.
We're rockers at heart.
Right.
Who are the best rock and roll trios of all time?
Rock and roll trios.
Rock and roll. Rock trios. God. Rock trios of all time. I have a list of the top 11, according to somebody who may or may not know, but you may or may not agree with the list. And we have that for you next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
All right, we have a top 10. Actually, it's a top 11, and I'm just going to give you one for now of the best rock trios of history. And number 8 on the list is ZZ Top.
Oh, okay.
Forget about them?
No. I wasn't. Yeah, right. I wasn't thinking about them yet.
And I'm going to give you more of these a little later.
All right.
Now, recently there was a story, perhaps a couple of them, but I'm thinking about one in particular from the Lake Tahoe area. And if you don't know where Lake Tahoe is, it borders northern the border of Northern California, Northern Nevada, near...
In the corner.
Yeah, right there. And they found a rat and tested it, and it came out positive for bubonic plague.
Now, that scares me.
Yeah, because a lot of people died back in the day. I'm pretty sure other rats have been found with a positive test in other cities across the country. Don't quote me, but I'm sure I've heard other stories. And it's pretty bad stuff if it starts to spread. So
yeah.
Should we be concerned about it? And to find out, joining us live now is the Maine medical man at Valley View Wellness Health Center in Garden Grove, California, Dr. Michael Z. Kurtz. Dr. Kurtz, great to talk to you, sir.
Great to talk to you, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I do not, as far as I know, have bubonic plague, but what is it exactly?
You need to see me, sir. I need to make sure. There is an epidemic. It's crazy in California.
Do you have the test?
We don't have the test.
Oh, great.
I'll get it for you, though.
What good are you? Now, what is bubonic plague, and what are the symptoms?
Yeah, okay. The major symptoms are you develop a really bad fever, headaches, vomiting. You can have the major thing is swollen and painful lymph nodes, because what happens is the flea bites you. Okay, the flea bites your skin,
mm-hmm.
and the plague is spread through the skin into your lymph node, and the lymph node in the area swells up unbelievably, and it can bleed very badly.
Oof.
You become septic, and you can die from this.
Oh, so it's the fleas from the rats.
Yes.
Is that right?
And so when they catch a rat that tests positive, okay, they've got the rat, but he had 15 fleas on him, and now those fleas are off gallivanting around looking for other hosts.
Yes, they do. And what it is, it's from Yersinia pestis. That's the bacteria that causes bubonic plague.
Yeah, wait, you're what?
You know why it's called bubonic plague?
No, why?
Because it comes from the Greek word bubon, which means lymph node.
Oh.
But what was that other Hariosynthesis? What was it called?
What's that?
The word that you used before that, Hariosynthesis? Wait, say that again.
Hariosynthesis?
No. That's not what it was. I just didn't hear you properly.
You're talking about Yersinia pestis.
Yeah. Simia pestis.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's the bug. That's the bacteria that causes bubonic plague.
Oh. Syria pestis.
Yeah, Yersinia pestis.
Oh, Simia pestis. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now,
that's for that.
Now, what do you think? Should we be concerned? Because back in the day, clearly, historically, a ton of people died because of the plague. Or do we have a handle on it? Does medicine have a handle on it, except for your office there where you don't have the test?
Medicine does not have a handle on it at this time. We're getting one on it because basically bubonic plague was very common in what part of the world? Africa.
Yeah.
It spread from Africa basically to Asia and, you know, those areas. Well, now because of travel and people are getting pets from other countries, it's here in America. And, yes, there's an outbreak in California.
Yeah.
There's an outbreak in Michigan.
Uh-oh.
There's an outbreak in Colorado.
Ooh.
We don't have a lot of people dying, but guess how many people died this year so far from the bubonic plague?
Five.
How about 15?
Well, let's see.
Whoa.
See, that's three times more than I thought. That's scary. So do the animals die as well, or are the humans more susceptible?
Humans are more susceptible. More
because do the animals have lymph nodes?
Yeah, they have lymph nodes, but they carry it. They carry it.
Oh.
And then they give it to us. But that's how you get it. It's not airborne.
And you're saying we don't have a handle on this?
We don't have a handle.
Oh,
you know what? There's no vaccines. Vaccines have not been found to be very useful in this. And there are medicines for it. But the problem is you've got to catch it very early. And most people, with what they're being taught now, is don't see your doctor for 3 to 4 days.
Yeah. What?
When you're sick, right?
Yeah.
If you wait that long, you're going to die. So that's why we don't have a handle on it.
Yeah, well, you better accept my insurance.
Cash and carry.
You'll take
cash. The bubonic plague test report is going to come. So we'll see. Hopefully you don't have it.
Right. Cash. Okay. Care. All right, fine. Now, Dr. Kurtz, here's where the rubber hits the road. It's flu shot season, and I've got to tell you, even though people say it's not the case, not possible, the two times I have gotten flu shots, I got ridiculously ill. But I'm thinking about getting a flu shot this season. Should I?
No.
Really?
I would not give you one.
You're going to get kicked out of the medical association for saying that.
I'm going to get kicked out. This isn't going to the medical. This isn't the AMA or the AOA. We're being
no.
listening. Really.
Oh, it's just us guys talking. Okay,
I'm okay.
Fine.
Just you guys, yeah.
Just the FCC. Yeah, none
right.
of those other guys.
Now, why shouldn't I get it?
I'll tell you why. Because you had a reaction to it. Now, let me tell you. If you get the flu, there's medicine for the flu.
Yeah.
So I would rather treat you that way, because if you have, you could have a reaction to the flu shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, what's happening now, just so you know, the flu shot is called quadrivalent right now, which means there's four flu shots in one.
Oh.
It comes from the states of Massachusetts,
yeah.
California, and Texas, because oh. those are the leading flu areas in the past few years.
Yeah.
And the flu shots are, just so you know, they're made from strains from 2014. Because we don't know what's coming this year. It's too late. By the time they make the flu shots, it's already too late. So they do it from the year before. So the strains are all right now from 2014.
Yeah.
So you might get the flu shot, and if you're sick from it, I would say don't get it, buddy.
All right.
And I could give you a flu shot if you want to, if you haven't had a problem with it. If you're prone to the flu or you're exposed to people that are carriers, like older people,
yeah.
people that, God forbid, you know, younger people.
Well, how about third through sixth graders? Because I'm seeing them a lot more.
Yeah, because kids are in school. They're the prime targets.
So teachers,
got it.
Teachers should get a flu shot.
People in the healthcare industry that are exposed every day in yeah. hospitals and yeah. nursing homes, they should get it.
Uh-huh.
People that have cancers,
yeah.
people that have diseases, you know, uh-huh. infections, HIV,
yeah.
patients that are prone to those are the ones that should be getting it. People that are semi-healthy like you, I'd rather treat you with the medicine. I give you medicine for the flu. There's medicine.
Always great to hear from your doctor that you're semi-healthy.
I'm healthy, sir. What I have can't be cured. Vaccines won't help me.
All right, but so you say it's better in my case, then, to treat the flu if I catch it. What if I get the latest and fanciest and fashionable bird flu that's out there that tends to work real fast? And then
I can help you.
You can still help me.
Because the vaccine isn't necessarily against that. You know, if it gets, and there could be a new strain this year that we're not going to be immune to, that it doesn't yeah. help.
The yeah. monkey flu or the flying shark flu or whatever.
Exactly.
It is. Yeah.
Or the Phil Hewlett flu. You never know.
Yeah, I could be carrying something hideous. Who knows?
I'm sure you are. You know, you're the one spreading it to all your friends in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, thanks
so that's
a lot.
The problem. Yeah.
All right. So people should come to you to get their shot as opposed to their neighborhood drugstore.
Yeah. Well, people, you know, it's funny. Funny you should say that, because people are telling me that when I give them the flu shot, they feel better than when they get it from the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
I see that the grocery store, they've got a sign out front that says flu
yes.
shots.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So you go in, you get a pack yes. of beer and a couple of boxes of strawberries on sale, and you get your flu shot.
Yeah, and you get it for cheap. You get it for $10 instead of what we charge, like $30 if you don't have insurance.
Right. But what's the cash and carry price?
Cash and carry price is $30 to $35.
Really?
And insurance companies do pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, ours is a quadrivalent, so we have the new one, the 4-in-1 shot. You
know, mm-hmm.
We're giving four viruses at one time.
Yeah. All right.
You know? So, you know, that's what they're recommending right
good.
Now.
All
right,
Ted, so you're going to get your shot?
Yeah, I got a question for you, Doc. I just
yes.
did chemotherapy between February and May.
Yes.
Finished it up. I have chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and I just my immune system is back to normal. My white cell count is between 4 and 11. It's actually about 6. So you know, I'm kicking butt in that regard. What do you think? I should get a flu shot?
Yes. Let me tell you, my wife has CLL also. She doesn't qualify for chemo or anything yet, which I'm a little bit upset about.
Huh.
Waiting for a white count. How high was your white count?
80.
How high?
It went to 80, and I was treated then. It was beginning to rise. It was between 80 and 90.
35,000. I don't know what it is now.
Well, that's 35 is relatively low. I was right around there between 25 and 35 for about 6
yeah.
years. So
yeah. See, so. I would recommend it for you, because I recommend for her. She get it. Her doctor also. She get it every year for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And the pneumonia shot once every 5 years.
Ammonia shot.
Pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Yeah, that's a good high, but I don't know when I'm going to take that.
I'm not that kind of a doctor.
Gotcha. Pneumonia. All right. Thanks, Doc. I'll talk to my oncologist, and we'll go forward. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. See what they say, but I really recommend that people with cancer and things like that, if you've got autoimmune things or cancers.
Hey, very good, and best of luck to your wife. She needs to talk to a patient, you know, I'd be glad
to. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, how about that?
You're going to be okay. The good news about CLL is you'll survive.
Correct.
I have to introduce you to Dr. Kurtz and Ted. And,
sure.
Perhaps Ted brings some cash, apparently, if you're going to see
that's what I understand. I'm a cash patient only.
It sure is. I don't take yours, Phil.
I'm almost Medicare, Doc, so you're going to only get about $8 out of 10.
We have a link to Dr. Kurtz on our website at philhewlettandfriends.com. Always a pleasure to see you
have a great day.
When I'm healthy, especially.
Yeah, see you, Doc. Thanks.
Healthy.
Mostly healthy. Right, thanks. There he goes. It's Dr. Kurtz. See, you haven't heard
that guy. How long have you been seeing him?
Oh, since probably about 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding. He's a great guy.
He is good. Yeah.
I wonder if I could get him as my main dude.
You probably could.
All right.
Especially if you're only paying cash.
Right. Yeah. Kurtz.
Yeah.
Cash Kurtz. That's what they call.
Cash Kurtz. Yeah.
I got to love it. I do like that guy. I like him a lot.
He's a lot of fun. And it's the first doctor you'll ever hear when you say, should I get a flu shot? And he says, no.
No. Well, okay, yes.
Well, you, yes.
Agreed. But anyway.
But me, no.
But I'm special circumstance.
Yeah. And I'm another special on the other side of the thing.
I'm going to reach out to him. It's, you know, best is I'm praying for his wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice lady. Yep. Nice guy. All right. Up next, pray for us all, because sooner or later, the hackers are going to have all of our information. They're coming up with new ways. In fact, the latest is they've stolen fingerprint information.
I got to know how they do that.
I don't know.
I've got a fingerprint thing on my phone that'll unlock it.
Me too. And I'm worried about it. And our tech guy joins us live after a few weeks off. He's right here with us on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next! All right, we're doomed as a society. Because it's probably China or Russia or who knows, and they've got all of our data, our personal information.
The Chinese premier or president, what do they call him? The head commie.
The big cheese.
He's over here now, you know, and trying to strum up business.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're trying to hammer in, and it's part of the deal, is, you know, hey, cut out the hacking.
Yeah.
Please.
Right.
Come on.
We're probably doing it too, but sooner or later, they're going to control all of our money. Through hacking our apps or whatever it is.
So buy gold.
Yeah, I guess so. And put it under your pillow.
No, that's not.
And have a good night's sleep.
Thank you.
Now, it's time to talk tech, in case you didn't know. And joining us now is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. Jeremy, long time, no talk.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great, thanks. I hope you're doing well. Now, hackers have stolen this time, and it boggles my mind how they even do this, a bunch of fingerprints. Do you know how they did it, and what can they do with those prints now that they have them?
Well, yeah, we talked about this a few months ago when the Chinese hackers broke in and stole that huge repository of data from the government. It was, you know, thousands and thousands of records of current and former employees and job applicants. Turns out that about a quarter of them, 5.6 million individuals, had their fingerprints stolen as well. So in addition to all of the other information that they already had, because this was information filled out by applicants for security clearances. So if you can imagine the level of detail of, you know, personal information that was provided, they've basically got a, you know, full picture of this person's life. And now they've got their fingerprints, which is, of course, pretty concerning because, you know, an alias or a cover story can be changed, but your fingerprints are going to reveal your true identity.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can make those silicone gloves and put them on like they do in the movies, and you can gain access to sensitive areas of the government.
Scary stuff. You know, some of the you know, more important stuff has additional levels of security, like you know, retina scans and so forth. But but you're right; those silicone gloves, you can actually bypass, you know, iPhone and other smartphone fingerprint readers by using somebody's fingerprint.
Yeah. And I just learned how to fingerprint access my phone. It's blocked, and you've got to have my thumbprint or my index finger on it. And so now the Chinese have that, and they can get into my phone.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, we talked about apps there in the introduction there a little bit, and a whole bunch of apps, I don't know how many, maybe a ton of them, have been compromised by some fancy new malware. What's it called and what does it do?
Well, this is called Xcode Ghost. And, you know, for a long time, certainly, you know, here on the show, we've talked about how iPhones and Macs have been perceived to be safer than their alternatives in the PCs. But things are really starting to change. We're seeing a rise in malicious software targeting Macs. And this one is actually a combination that targets both the Mac as well as apps. And this is kind of a scary thing. So what happens is they've managed to trick people into downloading a copy of Apple's development tool. Now, this is a thing called Xcode, something I use every day, and it's what you use to build apps. But they've come out with a malicious version of it and had some Chinese developers download it unknowingly. And what happened is when those developers finished their apps and put them into the store, the malicious version of the development tool inserted some malware into their app, so they unknowingly were publishing this, you know, this virus, if you will, the malware, if you will.
Wow. And then what happens once you're infected?
Well, there's a number of things that can happen. There's a limited set of information that's available, that, you know, the device information, the type of device you're on, some of the other apps that you're running and so forth. But more scarily, the apps actually then accept command and control instructions from the attackers, meaning that they can pop up a password prompt and say, oh, your password's not working, please enter your credentials, and then they got you.
Yeah, it seems, I mean, if I probably don't have the correct history, the mythology behind hacking, but it seems to me that it started out with a bunch of people who had an axe to grind with Bill Gates because they believed that he stole some major ideas from Apple and made a career out of it and got rich, and they thought that he could be brought down by hacking into the people that were enjoying his products. And so Apple has gone, as you point out, mostly unscathed over the years, but now there's another player, the Android business. So you have the Androids and the Windows and the Apple people, and who knows, maybe they're all in a big circle, shooting flaming torches at each other, and we're the ones who are the collateral damage.
Could very well be. It's a, you know, it's a scary time to be alive. It's an exciting time to be alive. There's so much information at our fingertips, and obviously coming with that are lots of consequences about our privacy and personal information that we're exposing. So should be an interesting ride. We'll continue to keep an eye on.
By the way, I dumped that flashlight app on my phone because it had way too much access and had asked for way too many permissions, and I found a flashlight that only it just asks if it can be on my phone, and that's the only thing it asks for.
You didn't have a flashlight?
Well, I had a flashlight on my phone, but it wanted to know my geolocation. It wanted to have access to my contacts. It had all kinds of things, and it's the flashlight that came with my phone. And so
those are red flags to me.
Oh yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
And maybe it had that Xcode Ghost on it for all I know. But no, I don't have an iPhone, so I'm safe. Marginally.
Well, my iPhone got a flashlight on it.
Yeah.
Didn't ask me anything.
You're screwed.
The iPhone comes with a flashlight. You don't have to install any third.
That's right.
All right. Good.
Third party tool.
Good to know. Well, because it rules, doesn't it?
Jeremy? Everybody hates a third party tool.
Yeah. So you hear that? It sure does.
It sure does. And you know what? Tomorrow, new iPhone day. So I will have my hands on my brand new iPhone first thing in the morning.
6S.
We'll have lots to talk about next week. Yes.
6S. Oh, good. Because my daughter is looking at that, and I want to know all about it. So we'll ask you about it next week.
Sounds good, guys.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yo.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye bye. All right. Haven't talked to him in a while. It looks like we're talking to him again next week. Victoria? You wanted an iPhone 6S? We'll find out all about it next week.
Well, he has a 6 now, and he's going to the 6S. Is that what he's doing?
He always has the latest stuff, and he gets it early.
Well, I'm thinking about getting that $15 Sprint thing where you can just upgrade whenever your new phone comes out.
Oh, I thought Sprint was selling a $15 phone.
No. I wish the hell they were selling a $15.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, baby.
All right. Another rock trio.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On the list here of all-time rock trios. Is this the list of the all-time rock trios?
Chad Mitchell Trio.
Number 6 on the list is Green Day.
Oh, okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah?
I wouldn't even, I just don't think in those terms of three, you know?
Yeah,
I just don't think about that.
Yeah, now think about who else would be on the list, and we'll tell you the rest of them when we return here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. Visit the website, add.com to the name of the show, and you're there. That was just a way for me to save some breath.
That's quick.
Yeah, it is. All right, here's the list. And we're going to go back to number 10 and work our way up. In fact, number 10 is a tie.
Now, we're talking about three-piece rock groups.
Three-piece rock groups. Are these the best of rock history? Primus and Husker Du, tie for 10.
Yuck. No. Couldn't tell you.
Blink 182, number 9.
Okay.
All right. We mentioned ZZ Top at 8. Sublime.
Oh,
number
yeah.
Number 7.
Oh, sure.
Didn't realize they were a trio.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6, Green Day. Number 5, Rush.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got to have Rush. But now there are four bands better than Rush
okay.
on this list. By the way, it was put together by the site UproXX. That's UproXX.com. And Rush was 5. The Police. Number 4.
How could you not forget the Police?
Yeah.
I think they're great.
Nirvana was a trio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Jimi Hendrix Experience
of
was a
course.
Trio. Yeah, number 2. And the number 1 a trio, I think our executive producer, Mike Stark, will probably get the number 1 band.
Cream.
He says Cream, and he is correct.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
See? Knows his music.
Wow.
How about that?
Not the Geezer Butler Trio.
No.
Okay. Never mind.
You know, everybody's hunting up their Yogi Berra sayings this week.
You know, that I felt saddened when I heard that.
Yeah.
I actually saw Yogi Berra play when I was 9 years old.
One of the great players. You know, he's known for his goofy way of talking. But
he's wonderful.
He was a great player. He won a handful of championships with the Yankees.
Sure.
Yeah.
Beloved guy.
Played 19 seasons.
New Yorkers would go to war with that guy.
You know what position he played?
He was a catcher.
Yeah.
Of course. I saw him.
Sure.
Yep. I saw him in the 1960 World Series against the Pirates.
How about that? 1960. Born mm-hmm. May 12th, 1925. So yeah. 1960, he was only 35 years old.
I think so. Something like that. He played into like 1964, 5, something like that.
5'7".
Is that right?
5'7" these days, they don't allow you to play sports.
Yeah, but the thing is, he was 5'7" and probably a solid mass of pasta.
Yeah, right. You know? you remember his number?
8.
Yeah,
sure.
Of course. He was number 8.
Born to immigrants in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Check this out. He stormed the beach at Normandy.
Did he?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He was later wounded in World War II.
Wow.
He played for the Mets, too, but much, much later on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like 63, 64. I don't remember all those years, but I do remember, you know, the great expressions that... that he comes out, you know, the yogi-isms.
Yeah, like it's not over till it's over.
That one, that's probably the most famous one, you know. What do you call them? They're malaprops. Isn't that what they're called?
Yeah, exactly. But, I think maybe he knew what he was doing.
You do? Well, maybe. Sure.
Or maybe not.
He's from New York. He's a show business
What
guy.
Else? You got any more of
He's
them?
Being honored tonight at Yankee Stadium. And they could, you know, that state would go, the whole state would go into an hour of silence over a guy like Yogi Berra.
Right.
They would do that.
Yeah.
He said, be sure to go to other people's funerals or they won't come to yours. That's the one. Stark posted that one yesterday. That's tremendous, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Here's one that I've used, but in another context. I said, baseball is 90% mental. The other half's mostly physical.
Not a math major.
Is that awesome?
Yeah, that is.
I always thought that record would stand until it was broken. You can observe a lot by watching.
Oh, of course you can.
Yeah. So there's books published, thick books,
and people say these things as though they're part of the vernacular, like it's like deja vu all over again.
Deja vu all over again. That might be the most famous one, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Aflac. I'm glad he did those Aflac commercials. You know.
All right.
So. Yeah, Yogi.
Yeah. All right.
His heart. And hey.
Oh, by the way.
He was the inspiration for Yogi Bear.
And the funny thing is, the Associated Press, which is the venerable news agency where all the other news agencies get their breaking news when their the reporters are on a break, the Associated Press initially reported when Yogi Berra died that, here's the quote, New York Yankees Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Bear
has died. He was 90.
You know, that was an intern. That's an entry-level job at AP.
Right.
Posting that stuff. Some kid.
They corrected
it. Yogi Bear? Oh,
they corrected it later.
He actually died. That cartoon character actually died. I get
and
it.
And it was sad when it happened.
What happened to Boo Boo?
Yeah. Oh,
what's he going to do now? What about a picnic basket, Mr. Ranger?
You know what? We were talking to the doctor, Dr. Kurtz, in the last segment, two segments ago. And the thing is, these days, when you have to buy and pay cash for your pharmaceuticals, for your drugs, that could run a pretty penny.
Honey. Oh, man. Oof. And some of the co-pays.
Right.
Oh.
Yes. And it does seem like the price is arbitrary.
Terribly. They're nuts. It's out of control. And the most recent story having to do with all of this is about this guy. His name is Martin Shkreli. And he's an entrepreneur. This guy doesn't have any interest in medical, you know, research or I mean, at least I don't think he does.
Yeah.
This is a guy who bought the rights to this drug. You can buy this intellectual property. You know how you make it, what's in it, how you distribute it.
Somebody else made it and did the R&D and all of that. And when
62
they were done,
years ago.
And he bought the rights to
it. He bought the rights to it. He's the CEO of a company called Retroflow. The drug is called Theola. And he bought this guy, and he jacked the price about 5,000%. I didn't do the numbers, but that's about it. The pills went from $1,350 a pill to $750 a pill.
Whoa.
So somebody that needs to take one of that could spend upwards of $350,000 a year.
Yeah, because you're taking a pill, you're probably taking at least one a day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It treats a disease called toxoplasmosis, which affects compromised immune systems.
Yeah.
Like me.
Your savings will be compromised in a hurry.
So, it treats a foodborne disease which affects people with compromised immune system. But the Daraprim is that deal. So, you know, the guy has since, this story's about two or three days old.
Uh-huh.
And the follow-ups have been about him tweeting, you know, backing off of him being a jackass.
Yeah.
Basically.
Of course.
You know,
is that the only one he's purchased, or did he purchase other drugs too?
He probably has. I don't know what his company, that seems to be his business.
Oh.
But he's in the drug, he says, you know, hey, I jacked up the price because that's the going rate. I can get that. It's a free market, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, baloney. How much money do you need to make?
Yeah, really?
I mean, come on.
Profit is profit, but do you have to keep making more and more? I mean, it's almost like he said, thanks for getting sick, suckers.
Especially, you know, 5,000%.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. Bad guy.
That guy.
Well, here's a similar situation, I think. You know who Gisele Bündchen is, don't
do
you?
Do I?
Now, there's a chance for you to prove how much you love her. Because Gisele is releasing a collector's edition coffee table book about herself.
Oh, boy.
It's a 536-page hardcover book with more than 300 photos, including nudes.
Oh, boy.
Gisele Bündchen, stark raving nude.
Thanks, Phil.
Yes.
As if it wasn't bad enough.
It is bad enough. It gets worse. Ready?
Ready.
It costs $700.
Okay, see, Gisele, you're a babe, but come on.
But they're only making 1,000 copies of this special edition. And they're all autographed by Gisele.
Well, he ought to damn well be.
If that helps your decision making there. So, what's 1,000 times 700? That's $700,000.
There you are.
Yeah.
She does a couple of runway trips and makes 700 G's.
Yeah.
I bet.
Right.
You know, she's gorgeous and the whole deal. But do you remember? This is reminiscent of that stupid book that Madonna published
I had a copy of it.
Did you?
A promotional copy.
A promotional copy.
I put it on my coffee table for a day, and I got slapped a couple of times.
You got thrown out of the house by four smart women.
Yeah, it was porn. It was basically porn.
That's right.
Now, Gisele has another book coming out. It's called Football Games My Husband Didn't Cheat In.
Whoa.
No, I'm kidding. That's a joke.
My husband's deflated balls.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah, fun. Right.
I was out of line.
You're playing games with me here.
Out of line.
Chinese checkers.
Right.
You ever play that?
In China.
It was invented in 1892.
Okay.
In Germany.
In what? 1892?
1892.
Oh, it's part of the Industrial Revolution.
In Germany.
Okay.
And also, one of the only... Only one scene in the movie Fargo, you saw Fargo, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Only one scene in that movie is set in the city of Fargo, North Dakota. Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo.
Fargo.
With the wood chipper.
Yeah. And no scenes were actually filmed there.
Well, where do we know where they were filmed? Probably in Canada.
Yeah, probably. It's cheaper in Canada
sure.
to film a lot of stuff.
You bet.
Right. Okay, now, here's something I think worthy of discussion. When I saw this headline, I went, wait a minute, that's absolutely wrong. The headline is, men spend more I may not even have to read the story here. Men spend more time shopping than women. And then it goes on to say, but only because they're bad at it.
Oh, that's...
It's BS, right?
That's up to the neck.
Ladies,
BS.
Here's how men shop. We figure out what it is we want. We go inside the store with laser precision, find it, walk back to the checkout counter, buy it, get in the store, go home, and use it.
Right.
That's how we shop.
I can even grocery shop fast.
Yes.
Yep.
And sometimes I get sent out with a grocery list, and I'm home. How'd you get home so fast, honey? Well, I just bought what was on the list. I didn't do any shopping while I was there. I just bought what was on the list.
You didn't look at what was on sale?
No.
Oh, come on.
No, because when you buy stuff on sale, you're saving money, aren't you? You buy spending money.
She did not train you.
Now, here, according to the shopping app called Budget Sense, they polled 1,000 people who have no sense, apparently, and found that men spend more time shopping than women do. And they spend more money. Well, we may spend more money because we're not shopping for bargains. We're just shopping for the thing we want.
Get it done.
The average guy spends 3 hours a week shopping and $85 a month on clothing. For women, it's 2.5 hours and $75.
I don't buy
it. A woman will spend 2 hours just trying stuff on.
I get all my T-shirts from my son who's outgrown them.
Yeah?
And I'm small enough that...
He passes them down to you?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right.
I don't shop.
Yeah.
Kidding?
Now, the what else? 80% of us shop online at least once a week.
Oh, now Amazon Prime saved my life.
Yes.
Oh, boy, that's where I
shop. So you spent the $99 and then you're saving on the... Ultimately, you'll get that money back by saving on shipping.
Oh, absolutely. And time. Think about what if I had to drive someplace,
yeah.
you know, 10 miles to the grocery store or wherever. I mean, to big... Best Buy or whatever the hell.
And if you get the Amazon Prime, you have access to TV shows.
Sure. All that's for free.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. 58% of us spend at least an hour shopping in actual stores every week.
What?
58%? At least an hour in actual stores.
I know.
I don't know. I think maybe, you know, the wife and I will go to the big box club grocery store.
Oh, Costco?
Costco or Sam's Club, something like that.
That's grocery shopping, though. Yeah. You have to go.
And we'll spend an hour in there.
All right.
Easily.
Okay, fine.
But, you know, I'll spend most of my time in line with the sample ladies.
But I don't go around with... Right. With the...
You know?
Right.
Would you like a dim sum?
And you go to the Burbank Costco and get punched in the nose for taking too many Nutellas.
Really?
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, we talked about that last
time.
Yes, sir.
I forgot.
Yep.
But I'll try to remember next time.
And get punched in the nose for a Nutella waffle.
We love your comments. The show's over already. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at FAFShow. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. If you listen to us on iTunes, thanks. Leave a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail on the website. Look for the blue tab. It's free. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who we're pretty sure now has quit his job.
Huh.
And our... theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. Isn't it nice? For Ted and all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.